I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I do trust that everyone will understand my English. Those who speak Afrikaans, those who speak French, or whatever it might be, I trust, because the time is so very short. I would love and I would prefer if you permit me to speak without it being interpreted.
Amen.
Yes, thank you so much. My ministry is the teaching ministry. For many, many years, I had mainly the evangelistic ministry. But in recent years, the Lord put the emphasis on the true Bible teachings. It's so very important for each and everyone to make sure that what we believe is what the Scripture says, not what somebody says about the Scripture, but the Scripture in its original way and form. Therefore, I read many, many Scriptures in the same speech, because I want the Lord to speak directly by His Word to all of us. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word and reveals it to those who believe and respect what God says. Just a few words about me. In 1949, I experienced the grace of God in a marvelous way. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. In those days, you didn't need to shake somebody's head and say, speak. But the Holy Spirit came down, and sometimes 200-300 people were filled within a few minutes with the Holy Spirit. I know what it means to experience the Lord personally. And by the grace of God, I know Him personally. The first verse I like to read from Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. What a glorious statement. But today, the Lord must speak to us. The word must be addressed to us. And we should have to touch mainly on the Bible prophecies which are now coming to fulfillment. With Israel, with the nations, with the church from the Gentiles, which needs to come to perfection and be ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think you call this place Jehovah Rapha. The Lord heals, and the Lord sends His word to heal us, to heal our soul, to make things right, so that the Scripture can be fulfilled, which our Lord in His day said in John chapter 7, John chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." And now comes the condition. The condition. Verse 17. "If any man will do his will," not speak about his will do his will, "he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." If you are not ready to do the will of God, the Lord will not even speak to you. First, we must respect the word of God in a direct way, as if the Lord personally would stand before us, sharing his words with us. The respect towards God and his word must return to God's people. And then, if you turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If somebody truly, not with a philosophy, but in reality, takes his cross upon him, denies himself, and follows the Lord, he shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. Then, in the same chapter, John chapter 8, verse 47, "He that is of God hears God's words." Verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." 1 Peter, 1 chapter, we read a very important statement taken from Isaiah chapter 40. I read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." If we go to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, there the man of God expresses the fear that people in the New Testament would be deceived by the serpent as Eve was deceived, having the impression that all things are right when they are not. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And then the apostle says, "For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, For another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. To how many scriptures could I go? Right to the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, where the seven churches are addressed. There were various teachings, Nicolaitan teachings, Balaam teachings, many, many different teachings. But everybody was under the impression that all is well. All is only well if things are 100% according to the word of God. If you go to Noah, there's one sentence which says, and Noah did all according to the word of the Lord. If you go to the prophet Elijah, and he did all according to the word of the Lord. If you go to Moses, and he did all according to the pattern shown to him on the holy mountain. Beloved brothers and sisters, I'm not a compromiser. I have a direct call from the Lord to preach his word. And just before we go into a number of scriptures dealing with different subjects, let me make the statement. In John chapter 1, we read, the Lord came to his own, and his own received him not. Just for one moment, imagine 4,000 years since the first promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 was given, had come and gone. And the actual hope the children of Israel were living for is to see the Messiah when he comes. And when he came to his own, and his own received him not. Until the moment in Luke chapter 19, from verse 41, our Lord looked over Jerusalem and he wept. He wept bitterly because they did not recognize the day of their visitation. They were singing. They were praising God. They were bringing their sacrifices. Everything was moving on as to the outside, as though all things are all right. But when God begins to fulfill his promises, if Bible predictions become a reality, then the supernatural takes place on earth. And that is the moment when we cannot continue the way we were doing all the time. We must even now know the promises of God for this day. And what tore my heart just about 4 weeks ago, when I was in Israel for the 17th time, because I take groups to Israel, and believe it or not, on one afternoon, a gentleman in Judea took us to a place where the statue of Elijah is. And to the right, another statue. And you know what he did? He just said, let's call Elijah. Because the Jews up to this day, at every Passover, they have an extra chair, and an extra glass with wine. So when Elijah would come, that he could take a seat and participate. But why do I say this? when John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, when Holy Scripture was fulfilled, they gave him a rough time. And the scribes and the teachers did not receive the one whom God had sent. And after 2,000 years, this man, there was a group of 70 and another small group, he says, let us call Elijah. And three times he calls Elijah, and somebody pressed a button, and Elijah was sliding down like this. My heart was broken. My heart was torn. And I thought, how is it possible to miss the day of God's visitation and be scattered for a period of 2,000 years among the nations simply because they did not recognize the day of God's visitation, missing the hope that they were actually carrying in their soul. Then I thought, how is it now? Where do we stand spiritually? Just very briefly, beloved brothers and sisters, let me tell you, God does all things according to His word. First, it's a promise. And when the time comes, God fulfills His promised word. And by that, we can check whether God is in it or not. Should I repeat? The New Testament began with the fulfillment of promises from the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 3, we read, a voice cries in the wilderness, make straight the ways of our Lord. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, I will send my messenger before my face to prepare my way. When the time of fulfillment came, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias in the temple, announcing the birth of the forerunner. When God makes history on earth, the supernatural comes down, heaven comes down to earth. And then we understand, the angel said, your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and he will be going before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Beloved, the word of God was fulfilled. Promises and predictions became a reality. At the first coming of Christ, 109 prophecies and predictions from the Old Testament were fulfilled. Altogether, we have in the New Testament 845 times making reference to the Old Testament, because the whole counsel of God was foretold in the Old Testament. The Old and the New Testament make one Bible. In the Old Testament, we have the predictions. In the course of the New Testament, we have the fulfillment. If you go to Luke chapter 24, when our Lord spoke at first with two disciples and then to all the rest of the disciples, He began with Moses, with the Psalms, with the prophets, showing to them that all that was written was fulfilled, that God was making history on earth. The plan of salvation that was announced was now a reality. The promised Son was born in the Old Testament. We have all the promises. Right from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the seed of God would come through the woman to bruise the serpent's head. We have all the promises. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. Psalms 2, verse 7. Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Psalms 89. I will be father unto him, and he will be son unto me. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. A virgin shall conceive. You can go on and go on. Right to Micah, the 5th chapter, where it says that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. All these scriptures became a reality, even as to the ministry of our Lord. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. When the Lord would come, the blind would see, the lame would walk. You can go to Isaiah 53, where our Lord is shown as the Lamb taking away the sins of the world, by whose stripes we are healed, by whose blood we were saved. Everything was in the scriptures. Even Psalms 16 says, I will not leave his soul in hell, nor his body to see corruption. In the New Testament, and you can check it from Matthew chapter 1 to the end of John 21, the life of Christ from his birth to his ascension to heaven is recorded. Beloved, now is our time. Now the promises given to us before the return of Christ must be fulfilled. As we mentioned, Israel, it honestly breaks my heart to think about the ways the children of Israel had to go through the period of the 2,000 years. Even during the time of World War II, 6 million were killed. Our hearts break. But what was it? Our Lord said, judgment will come upon you. The temple will be destroyed. And in Luke 21, verse 24, he said, Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are finished. And now, this time is at hand. If you go to the various promises and prophecies in the Old Testament, like in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1, we read, the Lord will bring you back and plant you again into your own soil. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10, he that scattered Israel will bring him back again and watch over him as a shepherd does over his flock. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24, I will gather you from all the nations whereunto I scattered you. And then, to know the precise timing, you have to go to Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, where we read that they say to one another, let us return unto the Lord. He has torn us, and he will heal us, he scatters us, he brings us together. And then in verse 2, we read, after 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, we shall live in his presence. It's a prophetic scripture. If you go through the Old and New Testament, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. When the Lord God said to Adam, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. It wasn't a 24-hour day. He lived 930 years. Beloved, this is the day of salvation. This is the time of grace. Yes. And if you take the many scriptures speaking about the last days, plural, then after the last days, maybe I should mention two scriptures in connection with this. The first one, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God in sundry times had spoken to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, Christ Jesus. And you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 17, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. The question was, what does this mean? And the answer was, this is that which God promised through the prophet Joel. In the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And if you go into the history of mankind, there were about 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, again about 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ, and now we finish again a period of 2,000 years. And beloved, if you read Matthew 24, if you read Mark 13, if you read Luke 17, you have to come to one very important conclusion, that this is the end time. That this is the time when God fulfills his promises made to us before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have time to go into all these scriptures. I just wish for you to know that God has a plan of salvation. And the time of grace began, and the time of grace will end. We are promised the return of our beloved Lord. In John chapter 14, our Lord said, I go to prepare the place. Then I will return, and I will take you to be where I am. In Luke chapter 24, verse 50 and 51, our Lord raised his hands, blessed his disciples, and before their eyes, he was taken to glory. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, we read, the same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have seen him going up into heaven. And if you quickly join with me, reading 1 Corinthians 15, here the apostle refers to the words spoken by Isaiah the prophet. I always like to let you know that God's word remains forever and is true, remains true. Just compare 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. We shall read verse 8. He shall swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Then let's go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, where we find almost the same words recorded in the Holy Scriptures. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, because the former things have passed away. Beloved, when our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He paid the price. He shed His blood. And the scripture was fulfilled. God was in Christ reconciling the world with Himself. We were brought back into our original position as sons and daughters of God, rightly placed again through the Son of God into our original position. But when our Lord rose from the dead, that was the victory. He conquered death and hell and could say, I was dead, but I live forevermore and have the peace of hell and so forth. So at that moment, when Christ rose from the dead, we have the proof that He conquered death and hell. But at that time, death was not swallowed. Death is still reigning, still existing. But when Christ returns, it will not only be death conquered, death will be swallowed up, and death will be no more. Beloved, that is God's plan of salvation. Now, if you go to the precious word in Ephesians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul speaks about the New Testament church that would be in the presence of the Lord, it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Beloved, there is no use for us to wait for the changing of our bodies if the heart is not changed, if the life is not changed, if the inside is not changed now, the outside will not be changed then. In the Old Testament, God made the promise, I will make a new covenant. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. I will give you a new life. In the New Testament, our Lord said in Matthew 26, from 26 to 28, this is the new covenant in my blood. We are a covenant people, amen, believing the covenant word. Just like God made a covenant with Israel, so He made a covenant through Christ with us. Amen. And all the promises of God are yea and amen to us. As the Apostle Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Now, coming to 2 Peter, which is so very important in reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and to our gathering unto Him, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According to His divine power, has given unto us things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that is called us to glory and virtue. Listen to the next verse. By which are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Please continue to listen. That by these, ye might be partakers of the divine nature.
Oh. Amen.
First, it's the word of promise. And after you receive the word of promise into your soul, you receive a divine substance.
Amen.
Because in the word is life.
Amen.
Other Lord said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. And in John chapter 12, our Lord spoke of himself in the comparison of a grain of wheat. He says, if the grain of wheat does not fall into the ground, it remains alone. But when it falls into the ground, it dies.
Amen.
It dies.
Amen.
And then the life that is in the seed comes out. Did you know that every seed that is being sown must die first before the germ of life can spring up?
Amen.
So it is with us. First, we receive the word of God and we die to ourselves. We die with Christ. Our own ways end. Our own will ends. A new life, not a new promise only, but a new life starts. So, when the time was fulfilled and the Son of God was to be born, the angel Gabriel brought the word to Mary, the word of promise. And she believed it. And the moment she believed it, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and the Son of God was born. This is the precise way we are born again.
Amen.
If you go to the United States of America, the first thing somebody might tell you, even the stewardess might tell you, over 50% in the USA are born again. Yeah, but that's only a statement. What about the reality? What about the divine nature? What about the life of Christ in us? All walk in their own ways, believe what they wish to believe, and still claim we are born again. If you are born again, the seed of the word of God remains in you.
Amen.
And the divine life that is in the seed comes up.
Amen.
And then only you can read and compare your life with Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Beloved, the time has come to be serious. To be serious. Unless you wish to miss the rapture, continue. But if you wish to be there when Christ returns, if you wish to partake of that glorious experience when our Lord will return to call us home, and he will return very soon. I could show you, as I mentioned before, especially from Matthew 24, how our Lord spoke about the signs of the end time, what would come in vain. And then he makes a tremendous statement in Matthew chapter 24. Here we should only read verse 33, maybe verse 32 and 33. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. And now comes a tremendous statement. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And then to emphasize it, our Lord says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Amen.
You can compare it with Mark 13, verse 29, and especially with the fig tree, a symbol for Israel. You have to read Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, to know that already in the Old Testament, God spoke about Israel in this symbol of the fig tree. So please take note, when the Lord referred in the whole chapter about the things which will take place, and then he makes the statement, "So likewise ye, when ye shall see, not when ye shall read." For hundreds and hundreds of years, people reading, but they did not see all these predictions and Bible prophecies come to fulfillment. We are a privileged generation to live now when Bible prophecies become a reality. And going back to 2 Peter, the first chapter, there is a warning, especially for all ministry brethren. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, we read, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto which ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place." Beloved, the moment God's word is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, it becomes a bright, shining light.
Amen.
You don't need to put your interpretation into it.
Amen.
Just let it be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. You can read many, many books. And one time, I was speaking in a city where a certain denomination has the Bible school and seminar, and the dean of this seminar took me to the library, and he said, "Reverend Frank, we have over 10,000 books the students might use." And as my name is Frank, and Frank, I said, "Beloved, you may read all the 10,000 books, and you still will not know the author of the one book, the Bible."
Amen.
Beloved, we cannot go by what people said about the word, about the promises, about the predictions. We must have open eyes, like with Israel, when God says, "I will bring them back." You don't need to explain it. It just takes place.
Amen.
And that is the answer. So it is with us. And I should have to read to you a number of scriptures dealing with the promises for our day. And before I do that, I just like to share with you from the beginning of the New Testament, only reading a verse here and a verse there, to show you the importance of the fulfillment of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 1, where it speaks about the birth of the Son of God, we read in verse 22, "Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets." Going to chapter 2, verse 15. And was there unto the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying. Verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. Verse 23, and he came to dwell in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. Beloved brothers and sisters, dear friends, only one more scripture here from Matthew chapter 4, verse 14. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. And just to come to the last moments when our Lord was on his way through Gethsemane, right to Calvary. Let me read to you from John, from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the second part of verse 24, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they parted my raiment among them. Verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says Isaiah. Verse 36, for these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, the bone of him shall not be broken. Amen. Verse 37, and again, another scripture says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. My heart is bleeding because God's people don't know God's promised word for this day. And I read to you from Romans, the 9th chapter, to show to you from the Holy Scriptures that the true children of God believe the promises of God, and they are the children to receive all the blessings God has in store for us. In the comparison of Isaac and Ishmael, we read in Romans chapter 9, verse 8, to give a comparison to us, Romans 9, verse 8, that is, they who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise. The children of the promise are counted as the seed. Amen. If you come with me to Galatians chapter 3, please don't forget. Here it says, the children of promise are counted as the seed. Isaac was not only a son, he was a promised son. And the blessings went with the promise. If you don't have a promise, how can you have faith? First, God makes a promise. And then he fulfills the promise. And first, you must receive the promise into your soul. And then, God watches over you to fulfill the promise in you. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Amen.
Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ, the promised seed, from Genesis 3, 15, right through the times of Abraham, through the times of David, promises, promises, promises. And when the time came and was fulfilled, God watched over his word. So in Christ, the promised seed, all of God's true seed, is blessed. Let me read it to you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Please don't forget the word promise. Promise, promise, promise. Galatians chapter 4, verse 23. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh, but he of the free was by promise. By promise. When the Lord appeared to Abraham and Sarah was behind him in the tent, giving the promise, in a year from now, I will come back and Sarah will have a son. And of course she laughed within herself, being an old lady, and with God all things are possible. It might look impossible, but if God makes a promise, He takes responsibility. Amen. You don't need to worry at all. When God makes a promise, it's His responsibility to keep His promise for us. And here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Come with me to Acts chapter 2, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place. We read about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received from the Father the promise, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Please get it. The word of promise, the children of promise, the spirit of promise. These three things belong together. And we have to understand from the Holy Scriptures the importance of first to believe what God promised, and then to see the promises fulfilled. To let you know what it means to be a true child of God, let me read to you from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'm only going to read two verses. Matthew 13, verse 37, and the first part of 38. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom.
Amen.
Now stop right here. First, the seed is the word of God.
Amen.
And then the children of the kingdom of God are the saints. What did I say before? First, the seed is sown into your soul. And then you die with Christ.
Amen.
And the word, the germ of life comes up. And you're born again. You can check it with James chapter 1. Maybe we should do it. So I always like to verify things in the Word of God. I don't know about you, but to me it must be scripture upon scripture.
Amen.
Word upon word.
Amen.
I don't want what you say and you don't need what I say, but we all need what God says.
Amen.
James chapter 1 verse 18. Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth.
Amen.
That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, I now have to come to the hard part of the service. Before the return of Christ, there must be a total restoration, the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord must come. There must be a similar outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the former rain, the latter rain. There must be a restoration of all the teachings, of all the practices that we have in this book recorded from the times of the apostles. And just in a very quick way, I will mention the scriptures which are very much misunderstood. And if I make a statement today, that from the first chapter to the last, the enemy has given his own interpretations. Every word of God, he changed. And if I say today that the Roman Church, which came into being after the Council of Nicaea in the year 325, has changed every scriptural doctrine. And if I say here today that within the Roman Church there's not one doctrine, not one practice according to the Word of God, not a single one, and I take this Bible and I face anybody on earth, anywhere, everything was changed. Everything was substituted. And the second statement, since the time of Reformation, movements came out from the Roman Church, but they were taking teachings with them from the Roman Church. But now the time has come, not only the scripture which says 2 Corinthians 6, the last six verses, you my people come out and don't touch any unclean thing. Now the time has come to check everything we believe, we teach and practice, whether it is in agreement with the Word of God.
Amen.
It's not enough just to read Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where it says, and they remained in the doctrines of the apostles. Is it the case? It must be so. A full restoration must come before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But just to show you how quickly things in the Word of God are misunderstood, if you don't have divine revelation, and please take it seriously, you will not understand a single word with head knowledge.
Amen.
The enemy will twist, the enemy will turn, like it did in the Garden of Eden. Did you know that only one word was added by the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 to change the whole thing, to bring the fall, to separate man from God? In chapter 2, the Lord God had said, you may eat from every tree. And in chapter 3, the enemy just added one word and said, did the Lord God say, you must not eat from all the trees? This word not. And then put in the question mark. And Eve believed it. And she brought Adam also into believing it. One word being added, a question mark behind it, and the fall was done. Separation was done. Beloved, the time has come where we have to respect the Word of God in such a way and forget old men, my interpretations.
Amen.
Because life is only in the Word. In every interpretation is the poison of the serpent and death. And therefore, there's such a big difference in the original word and in the interpretations. Now to the four scriptures. In Matthew 28, 28, 18 to 20, our Lord gave the Great Commission. That we should go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them. That was the commission. Not yet saying who were to be baptized, just teaching and baptizing. So you must go to Mark 16, verse 16, to know who was to be baptized. They who believe and are baptized shall be saved. So not just teaching and then baptizing, but first preaching, teaching. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon the people to give repentance, to convince of sins, so that they believe in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And then baptism should take place after they believe. With this, you have to go to Luke 24, verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in His name to all nations. And with this, you go to the most misunderstood scripture in John chapter 20, verse 23. Whose sins you remit, to them they are remitted, and to whom you retain, they are retained. How did Peter, how did John, how did James, how did Paul understand in practice the Great Commission? You must take Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John chapter 20. And with these four scriptures, which make the Great Commission complete, you must go to Acts chapter 2. So you don't fall into temptation to give your own interpretation, but go to Acts chapter 2 and see how the Great Commission was carried out. Peter was there when the Lord spoke Matthew, when He spoke Mark, Luke, and John. And now the Holy Spirit fell. The New Testament church was born. She was anointed. She was endued with power from on high. Peter, the apostle, the man of the first day, of the first hour. And the multitude came together. The question was, what must we do, brethren? And the answer was, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me make a statement before God and you. As the first sermon was preached, so the last sermon will be preached. In the full restoration, everything will be brought back to where it was at the very beginning. Jesus Christ changes not. He is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He that was, is, and shall come. So before He comes, you want me to read it? I'll read it to you. What's going to take place before He comes? Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And here we shall read verse, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. This word you must take to Isaiah chapter 20, verse 12. Now we shall read verse 20. And He shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you. And now comes the emphasis. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the time began. Let me make the statements, beloved. And if I now mention Brother Brennan, I don't ask you to forgive me. I just don't ask you to forgive me if I mention Brother Brennan, William Brennan. On June the 11th, 1933, when this man of God had his first evangelistic crusade tent meetings, and about 300 people were to be baptized in the Ohio River. When he was about to baptize the 17th person, he prayed, "O God in heaven, as I baptize in water, would you baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire?" And just then, a supernatural light descended, visible for over 4,000 people. Many fainted, others knelt down, others prayed, and from the supernatural light, the voice came as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. "You are sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ. If I would not give you this testimony, God would judge me and condemn me to hell. What good would it do, beloved, if I could present myself as a great man, taking the mic, running across the platform, telling you I've been to over 130 countries, telling you how many TV stations we serve and what God is. I am not here for that purpose. I'm here for one purpose, to tell you, as we have seen, there were promises in reference to the first coming of Christ. And there are promises in reference to the second coming of Christ. And we have to go back to the Word of God, Old and New Testament. For instance, in the prophet Joel, you might read it, but most of you are acquainted with all these scriptures. In the prophet Joel, and you have the promise that God will restore. But in the prophet Malachi, we have the direct mentioning of this promise. In Malachi chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, For behold, the day cometh that shall burn like an oven. Verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. First, the announcement that the day comes that will burn like an oven. Read with me 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 states very plainly about the day of the Lord, which will come when the day of salvation is over. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now, in the same chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this verse, that there should come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, verse 4, and saying, where is the promise? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering towards us. Beloved, isn't it true with us today? Just picture and take it to heart. In 1933, the dear Lord said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ. And the whole religious world doesn't know about it. And all the 500 preachers which came out of this revival got started in May 1946. Well, at the evening time, the angel of the Lord actually visibly entered the room where Brother Branham was, explaining to him that the end time had come and that the message of God's word with all the promises with everything contained in it, will be the message to foreign the second coming of Christ. In 1946, no one had ever heard about any of the great evangelists who traveled the world in the 50s. The first years, I don't want to mention names, but the most renowned evangelist had tuberculosis, and he came into the meeting of Brother Branham in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and God healed him. Then he became the most famous among all. The other one in Oakland, California. When these men saw the supernatural power of God, and beloved brothers and sisters, I'm an eyewitness that Bible days are here again. I'm a Bible witness that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I saw the born blind people receive their sight in one moment. I saw every sickness, you call it. I saw every sickness healed. Not with a promise, go and the Lord will do it. No, with the confirmation, the healing took place before thousands and thousands of people. I was in Brother Branham's meetings when he came to Switzerland and to Germany in 1955. I was in his meetings in the USA, and it was in June 1958 at the Dallas, Texas Convention, which was led by Gordon Lindsay. David Duplessis and many others were there, hundreds of evangelists. When God opened my eyes that this humble man, who didn't speak a very good English, was a man sent from God with the message of God to the people of God to call us back to the very beginning. And brothers and sisters, and Brother Branham, right next to the platform where we were standing and talking, he just said, Brother Frank, you will return back to Germany with this message. Beloved, I want you to know today, only reading the scripture so you might have the confirmation from the word of God, our time is past. But let me read to you how our Lord in the New Testament confirmed the promise of the Old Testament. It's always a promise, and the children of God are children of the promise, and they believe what God promised. In Matthew 17, you all are acquainted with Matthew 17. The Lord and three disciples went to the mountain. The glory of God came down. Peter wanted to build three tabernacles, one for the Lord, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And in verse 10, we read, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? The answer. And Jesus answered and said unto them, truly Elijah shall first come and restore all things. Amen. I want you to know, you can check it in Mark chapter 9 verse 12. And you can go to various places. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 12 and a number of places in the Old Testament. I just want you to know that we're still living in Bible days. I want you to know that God made promises. He cannot leave us in all the confusion, in all the interpretation, different interpretations of the scripture. There has to be a true voice of God which brings the true word of God, not explaining, not interpreting, but just the word of God as plain as it is. We could go to Israel, even if you wish to read about Gaza. You can read in the Holy Scriptures about Gaza. And if you know that now they're going to be pull out of Gaza. You want the scriptures? These are the two scriptures. I know they're done. Zephaniah chapter 2 verse 4. Zechariah chapter 4, chapter 9 verse 5 and 6. Where the Bible says a bastard will live in Gaza. Beloved brothers and sisters, it's all in this one book. We cannot go into all these details. I just want you to know that the coming of the Lord is near. And I also want you to acknowledge and name, if God gives you grace to mend things by His grace, the Lord God has a hard time with me and with all of us. And He does have a hard time with Israel, Only when the Lord takes over, the divine order will be. As long as men ruling men, the divine order will not wane. But as soon as the Lord will have His kingdom, the divine order will be established. And so it is with the church of the living God. If we can see the Son of Man walking amidst the seven golden candlesticks, if we can hear His voice, if we can read Revelation chapter 1 verse 1, that the Lord God sent His angel to reveal to John for all the servants of God what is in the plan of salvation. Brothers and sisters, I could read to you Daniel chapter 2, which speaks about the four world empires. I can read to you Daniel chapter 7, which speaks about the same subject. I can show you from Daniel chapter 8 verse 25 that a special person will be the one to bring peace, and to deceive many. And I can take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says, when they will say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come. And just before I left Germany, I had the email from the Vatican that on July the 5th, the negotiations between the Vatican and Israel will commence. Beloved, let me tell you once again, we're not only in the end time, we're at the end of the end time. And according to Matthew 24, verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom, including every promise, including everything, will be preached to all nations, and then the end will be. Compare it with Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. The everlasting gospel was taken to all the nations, kindred, and tongues. This is God's time for God's people. And the dear Lord who brought you thus far will take you on. But now the time of obedience has come. Disobedience caused the fall. And the Son of God was obedient to the cross and gave His life. And now the time for us to be obedient to the Word of God, to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, to be baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to receive the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. Something must be inside before a seal can be put. And according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, the Holy Spirit is a seal. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of your redemption. Brothers and sisters, I ask again to forgive me, but we look into the world. The statistics say 550 million charismatics, Catholics, Anglicans, and everybody speak in tongues. And nobody cares about the Word of God, or believe what they wish to believe, as before, so after. So people of God, hear me today, in the name of the Lord. The rain falls upon good and bad. The sun shines upon everything that is in the ground. But God knows His own, and all who are His own shall forsake unrighteousness and return to the Lord and believe according to the Scriptures. Beloved brothers and sisters, I really don't want to say this, but that you might know that I have a responsibility before God. There's no need for me to tell you this, but you might ask, What is this man trying to do? What is he trying to say? Beloved, I do have a divine commission. I heard the audible, all-penetrating, all-commanding voice of the Lord with these ears. With these ears. I remember April the 2nd, 1962, a Monday morning, when I rose up early, got ready for the day, went to the window, pulling the curtains left and right, looking out, and where I live, it's similar to the British Isles. Rain all through March. This was April the 2nd. And when I looked out the window, there was no cloud in the sky. And I just came back into the room, having a short prayer, committing the day to the Lord. And when I stood to my feet, I was looking straight to the window from where I was standing, from up, but from the right came the voice of the Almighty in the German language. And every word was spoken with precision, pronounced so well. My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. The next moment, I collapsed. I fell over to my left. My face was on the carpet. I lie not. I tell you the truth. Only after some time, I regained a little strength. And when I stood to my feet, my knees were just moving like this. And I looked towards the window, and I said, "Dear Lord, they will not hear me. They've got all things in plenty. They are not ready to listen. I just said the last word." And the Lord spoke the second time. "My servant, the time will come when they will hear you. Storing food for a great famine is coming. Then thou shalt stand amidst the people to give out the food." Beloved, this is as true as a testimony of the Apostle Paul and his experience on the way to Damascus. The last two things the Lord said were, "Don't establish local churches, and don't publish a song book, for it is a sign of a denomination." So I go all over the world to preach, but I never start a church. I never was responsible for a single split of a single church in over 42 years of ministry in over 130 countries. I preach the word of God, and I leave it to the pastor and to the people to receive it or to reject it, to obey or not to obey. But I come and I go. I cannot involve in anything that is in connection with the local churches. But only one more thing and I close. To be honest, I misunderstood. And I thought there would be a natural tragedy happen to our country, similar like in 1945 at the end of World War II, when the famine was great and we stored in food anything and everything that you need to survive, we stored in. But the months came and went, and no famine came, but agony came upon me. I just said, "Lord, take my life. You have spoken, and it doesn't happen." I announced it in the local church, and I said, "Lord, how do I stand before the people?" I said, "Lord, I'm not going to preach anymore. I cannot. You spoke, it doesn't happen, so I'm not going to preach." You cannot imagine what I went through. And all of a sudden, not a voice, a thought came to me. Take a flight, see Brother Branham. He is a prophet, and God shows him visions through his ministry, prophetic ministry. He could give you, God could give you the answer, true enough, to make it short. On Monday again, the 3rd of December, 62, we sat together with four brethren, Brother Softman, Brother Woods, Brother Branham, and Brother Frank, in Louisville, Kentucky. We sat together, and Brother Branham was speaking about German prisoners of war, and a few questions about Switzerland and Germany, about brothers, and my patience ran out. I just said, Brother Branham, I came to ask you something. At that moment, his right hand went up a little, and he said, Brother Frank, may I tell you what the Lord has spoken to you? And he repeated word for word in the precise order the Lord has spoken to me on April the 2nd over in Germany. My tears were just dropping down. I was overwhelmed by the presence of Almighty God. Beloved, I lie not. And then Brother Branham said, you misunderstood. You have put natural food, natural groceries in store. But God will send the famine to hear his words. And the word and the food you're to put in store is a revealed word of God promised for this day. And he made a statement. It's in the sermons which are kept on tape. The word tape he used in that connection. Up to that time, not a single sermon was printed. They were all just on tapes and later on cassettes. So my ministry, by the divine providence of Almighty God, is directly connected with the ministry of Brother Branham. I'm not a prophet. I'm the least of the servants of the Most High. But I do have a divine commission. Amen. And all the Bible teachings, and be it evangelistic, be it teaching-wise or prophetic, God used Brother Branham to guide us by the Holy Spirit into the prophetic scripture. Amen. I would not know what Revelation 12 means, what Revelation 13 means, what Revelation 14, 16, 17, 18 means, but God used his servant and prophet, William Branham. Amen. And because the Lord also called me, it was the Holy Spirit, the true anointing, just leading me into the word of truth. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, and the word is the word of truth. So it's up to you, it's up to you to line up with the word of God. Let us do as the Jews do. From 142 countries, they returned to the promised land because God will not send the two prophets to New York or to Washington or to Moscow and not to Cape Town.
Amen.
He will send them to Jerusalem. And that is why the people of God have to pray in the promised land, in the promised city, when the promised prophets will come. So it is with us. We must be in the promised land, in the promised word, having the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit. And then things will materialize and God will have his way with all of us. Beloved, may the blessings of the Almighty be with you. May this be the day the Lord has made for all of us. May this be a special time wherein we do recognize that there are promises and predictions taking place right now with Israel and also with the nations and with the Church of the Living God. Let me finish in saying, repeating the promises before the return of Christ, the New Testament church must be again one heart, one soul, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, loving the Lord, loving one another with the first love, and being led and anointed by the Holy Spirit so that Christ can live His life through us. This is a time of restoration of all things. Receive it, believe it, and experience it. God bless you. Let us stand for a word of prayer. Let us stand for a word of prayer. And before we pray, let us bow our heads. And today, I don't think I need to ask how many would wish to dedicate their life to the Lord. The time is near, and the time of grace is running out. The dear Lord has given you the opportunity to make a decision, to search the Scriptures from today. Don't search other books. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. But then come to the Lord so that you might receive eternal life. When we bow our heads, I'd just like to ask, if there are some who never dedicated their life to the Lord, and you know that He spoke to your heart today, and you wish to receive Him as personal Savior, believing that He died for you, shed His blood, and that remission of sins is being preached in His name, reconciliation. And as the Apostle Paul says, as ambassadors of Christ, we ask you to be reconciled with God, to be reconciled with one another, to have forgiveness and to forgive one another, to love, to make things right, so the Lord can finally have His way with His people. And let the inside be changed now. Say, Lord, I receive Your word into my soul. And then the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Your servants and prophets, and also the Holy Spirit, to reveal the word of God to us. Lord, we just praise you in your honor, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all people say, Amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. I wish to thank the pastor for giving me this opportunity. And I wish you all God's richest blessings. And as I expressed, may this be the day the Lord has made for all of us. God bless our brother Mutika. God bless our brother Daniel. God bless all the ministering brethren. And the dear Lord be with you all until we meet. If not on earth, we shall meet in the air when the Lord returns to take us home. Hallelujah. Praise be to His name. Amen.